Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, reminds us, said, I said to myself, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. I said to myself, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul remembers and it sinks within me. This, though, I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That declaration of Jeremiah was written at his lowest moment, when, like he said, my soul has fallen within me. It feels like, God, you've forgotten me. And yet he was able to say, but I remember this, that your compassions fail not, that they are fresh every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Sometimes, people, we need to constantly remind ourselves. You see, Jeremiah had to remind himself, great is your faithfulness. It doesn't mean like he felt it. In fact, he said, my emotions does not tell me that you're faithful. I am reminding myself that no matter how I feel, my feelings do not determine God's faithfulness. You see, God is working even when I don't feel like it. Even when I am hurt and down and beaten, God is still faithful. His word has said it, and I believe it. And it doesn't matter how I feel. We've been looking at this term that God is faithful, and we've looked at two different ways that he is faithful already. We've saw that he is faithful to deliver us. God hears the cries of our hearts, and he will deliver us. He is faithful to bring us out of whatever we're in. Now, sometimes it's not in our timing, but we know that he is working to deliver us in the right time. At the right moment, he is there to deliver us. We also saw last week that he is faithful to direct us. You see, he is faithful to put a light and guide our path. When we don't know where we're going, we can lean upon his understanding. When we feel like our life is chaos, you can count on the fact that God is faithful to direct you. And sometimes it's in ways that is not conscious, because sometimes I feel like I don't know where I'm going. Sometimes I just need to lean on the fact, God, I hope you're directing, because I don't think I'm making the right choice. But God is faithful to direct you. Beside our choices, beside what we know in our minds, God will still direct you, because he is faithful to keep you on the path if you are willing to trust him. He is faithful to deliver, and he is faithful to direct us. Today I want to look at an area that he is continuing to be faithful in, and this gives us hope. It says in Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. In fact, the very first verse that I ever memorized tells us this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But then it goes on. It says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. You see, God didn't want Jesus to be the only one that was loving in this world. God never meant for Jesus to be the only one that shined the light of God to this dark world. It says that whom he foreknew, in other words, those that he knew would turn their hearts to him, those that it talked about in the verse before that loved him and that were called to his purpose, that were willing to say, God, I want to follow your purpose. God, I want to have meaning in my life. In fact, I want you to use my life to make a difference. If that's you, God knew who you were, and he predestined you to become the very image of Jesus. So when Jesus and God the Father looks at you, they have a purpose for you. They look at your life not as just some random life, but you are special and unique, and you have a purpose that only you can obtain. And it says, for each one of us, we have been predestined. God has already willed it that you will become, in your own way, like Jesus. And if God has promised that, and he uses the word predestined, in other words, it's a promise, I am faithful, I'm going to do what I have promised you, then he's saying that no matter what happens in your life, that's why it says in verse 28, then everything will work together for good, because you see, I am faithful to develop your life. I'm not just faithful to deliver you, I'm not just faithful to direct you, but I am faithful to develop you, that in everything that you are going through in your life, I'm working on you. I'm faithful to be a good potter, that I am molding you, and I am making you into the most beautiful workmanship masterpiece that he can make. You need to understand that he is faithful to cause everything in your life to develop you to the best of his ability. There is nothing going on that's random. He has not just left you to your own way in this world. He is faithful to develop you, to grow you. He's faithful to equip you. He's faithful to teach you ways that you didn't think you could ever do. He's faithful to that. In fact, that's his purpose. He has given himself to you, that he is going to make you the very image of his son. That's a big purpose. That's a big promise. He doesn't just choose nobodies to become the image of his son. You are special, and he is working on you. And he is faithful to keep working on you until you are done. In fact, he says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, but we all, and that's all of those who love God, called to his purpose, we are just wanting to experience his presence. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's saying, just as much as when he delivered you, you saw the wonderful faithfulness of God. And just as much as when he directs you, you see, man, God, you know what you're doing. He says, just as much as you've seen me do great things in your life, I am faithful to make you into the same type of person. I'm going to put my glory in your body. And you might say, I am not worthy of that. And yet it says, I'm going to take you from glory to glory to glory. In other words, right now, we're not that glorious. And we'd be honest, when we look in the mirror, we're not going to see that. But yet God's purpose is to transform you a little bit by little bit by little bit. And here's where you need to trust. God is faithful that he is not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on you. When you fail, you know what? That does not mean, oh, you blew it. I guess I can't transform you. God says, in fact, Jeremiah uses the picture of the potter as he watched the potter making a pot that all of a sudden he found a lump in it. And it says that the potter was able to dig that lump out, cast it aside and start over again, and it became still a beautiful pot that he was making. God says, you know what? No matter what you see in your life, the imperfections, the brokenness, the weaknesses, I'm a potter. I am a master potter. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to just take that lump and throw it away, because you are my project. You are my masterpiece. Now, I'm able to mold those things out. I'm able to work on you. I'm able to sand those things down. And I am promise you that I am faithful, that I am going to turn you into a masterpiece. I don't care what you think of yourself. He is faithful to develop you. He is faithful to turn you into something that he is proud of. And he will do that. Now, here's the thing. He uses a lot of different ways to go from glory to glory. So I want to look at a few ways. How does he do this? If God is faithful to develop me, then you need to understand how he's going to develop you, because the more you understand how he's doing it, you're going to be able to let those things work in your life and have a greater effect. In other words, as you go to a coach, and a coach says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And the more you yield to the coach, then those routines and those drills that he has you do, they're going to act faster. You're going to learn quicker. How many know it's much easier to learn quicker? Because when you learn slower, it's a lot more painful. It takes a lot longer. I'd rather learn quickly. And so the more we understand what God uses in our life, we will more quickly become what God wants us to become. First thing he does is he uses dreams. It is through dreams that he does. And when I say dreams, I don't mean when you're asleep and you have a dream. God gives you dreams to keep you pushing forward. God wants to give you a goal in life. God wants to, you see, if he's going to develop you, then you need to develop a God dream. That God, what can I be for you? See, some of us, we never stop and think how I can be better used by God. We don't have a dream. And in fact, in the Old Testament, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of vision, for lack of a dream, for lack of seeing. And the actual word there for vision is seeing the image of God in their life. We are destroyed when we can't see how God's image can be in us, how we can become the very image of God. And so God wants to give you a dream. He wants to give you not a self-loathing, not a look in the mirror, I'm worthless. He wants to change that and give you a dream, and that's how he begins to mold you. Psalm, this is written by David, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. First of all, what he's saying is, it's not just he will give you what you want. That's not what he means. When you delight yourself in the Lord, God will give you a dream. God will give you a desire. God will give you a new passion that you never had before. Do you need a dream? Delight yourself in the Lord. Begin to say, God, I want to be like you. I want you to change me. And he will begin to give you a passion. He will begin to give you new desires. He will begin to give you a hunger for something. And it is through those hungers, it is through a passion that he begins to mold you. He goes on and says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. In other words, see, this is, I am faithful. If you will delight yourself in me, I'll give you a dream. And then if you will trust me, I'll make that dream a reality. That's what it basically says. Are you willing to trust God to let him give you a dream so that you can become a new person? That's the first thing that he uses. He wants to give you new dreams. The second thing that God uses, though, is delay. You might say, he uses delay. Yes, sometimes, in fact, almost every time, there is delay involved. And there's a reason for that. We talked about this on Wednesday, that God loves homemade, fresh cooking better than microwave cooking. Okay? And most all of us do. And if you're going to have a good meal, there's going to be delay. There's going to be time involved. Because to get all the flavor into something, it's got to cook for a while. And it's got to simmer for a while. And you can just smell it filling the room, but it's not done yet. And we hate that sometimes because I can smell it, I want to eat it. And God says, no, you've got to wait. There is delay involved. God will use delay in your life. You're waiting for an answer for God. I'm waiting for God to show up. You know what he's doing? He's molding you. And he's trying to tell you, just trust me. I am faithful. I'm going to develop you. I'm going to bring you to be that person that I want you to be. But you got to wait through the delay. You got to understand he's using delay to develop you. 1 Peter says this, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Have you ever read that part of the verse? We read the humble yourself in the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. But do you read the last part? In due time. It doesn't mean when, sometimes you say, I've humbled myself before you, God. When are you going to exalt? In due time. You see, it's in due time. God has to use time. Time is something that is precious. Time has a valuable effect on our heart if we will yield it to God. If you skip down to verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at what he'll do for us. He will perfect us. He'll establish us. He'll strengthen us, and he'll settle us. But it's after a while. It's after a while of suffering. It's after a while of waiting. There is that while. There is that due time that we've got to let work in our hearts. In the Old Testament, even to the prophets, many times he showed them the vision. In fact, Habakkuk was shown this vision. And it says, this vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and then it will not tarry. God uses delay for a purpose. If God has not shown up in your life, then there's a reason. Embrace it. Say, thank God you haven't shown up, because that means my life is going to be better for it. 1 Samuel, you think of the story of Hannah. Remember, she cried out, God, I don't have a son. Would you meet my need? And we know that she cried in front of the temple, and Eli came out and saw her, thought she was drunk, said, you need to leave. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to God. And so he said, you know what? God has spoken. Because you've cried out, he's going to answer your prayer. But this is what it says. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. But do you notice that it says she didn't conceive right away? She probably left the temple and said, oh, yes, the prophet told me that I was going to have a son. Okay, where is it? It said in the process of time. We don't know how long it took. We don't know. It could have been another year or two before she conceived. But she took the promise and she waited and she trusted and she had faith, because God uses time. Well, God also, he will develop us through difficulty. I know this is one we don't like. Okay, I'll wait. Sometimes I don't like waiting, but I'll wait. But then God uses hard times. God purposely will bring trials in your life. God will purposely bring pain in your life, because there is something about the fire that brings out the gold. You see, any precious metal has to go through the melting process. It has to be refined. And it is in the fire of difficulties that God makes you strong and precious. And we've got to be willing to yield to difficulties. People, I know we don't like it, but we've got to understand that this is the source that God uses to develop us, and he is faithful. So if we're going to say, God, you are faithful, you know what that means? Then he's going to bring hard times in your life. Oh, do you have to be that faithful, God? Yes, because he is developing you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for we do not want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. Paul's talking about what they went through. We went through a lot of trouble which came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength so that we despaired even of our life. Did you know that Paul despaired? Paul went through depression. Paul was discouraged. We don't always see Paul that way. We think of Paul as one that nothing ever got him down because he knew God was on his side. It says that I despaired of my life. There were times that Paul said, God, what are you doing? He said, we despaired of our life because of all the problems. It says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. But look at it was so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God was developing Paul to have greater trust. And so he brought harder times. Paul says, I have been developed through the faithfulness of God that he brought trials in my life. We need to understand that this is a tool in God's hands. Romans 8:18 says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Remember that glory to glory? The suffering that you go through, it doesn't compare to how much God is developing you. So don't give up. Don't cry and walk out on God. Begin to embrace it and say, God, I know this is hard and I don't like it, but you are faithful and you must be really developing me because this is hard. Begin to know that God uses that to develop us. One more thing that God uses, he uses discipline. Now, there's a difference between difficulties and discipline. Difficulties come our way to sand us and to melt us and to refine us, but discipline comes to convict us. There's sometimes that God puts in your heart that you need to change. You need to repent, and he's going to convict you, and he will put us through some types of punishment sometimes in our heart and in our mind to get us to repent. But it's so that he can work on us. He needs to discipline us. 2 Corinthians says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, Paul had written a letter to the Corinthians telling them that you need to straighten up. You're doing this. You're fighting amongst each other, and you need to stop doing it. And so in his second letter, 2 Corinthians, he says, I'm sorry if I made you sorry with my letter, but I don't regret it, though I did regret it when I heard about, he heard that they were upset, and that he started to think, oh, I shouldn't have did that, but he said, no. For I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. And now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, that you were convicted, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. God sometimes wants to make you sorry. You need to be convicted. You need to be corrected, so that you can repent and find healing, so you can find development in your life. And so God will discipline you. God will convict you. God will bring people in your life that will correct you. You need to stop pushing them away. How dare you tell me what I'm doing wrong? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit sending them, and it has nothing to do with them whether they have the right to speak in your life. Does God have the right? And sometimes he uses donkeys. In the Old Testament, he used a donkey to speak into a prophet. He might use your enemy, and you need to stop thinking, well, they don't have the right to speak in your mouth. Maybe they don't, but God may be using them. So you need to listen to the words that are being spoken to you in every circumstance and ask yourself, is this God disciplining me? It says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Proverbs tells us a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Are you willing to be developed by all of the tools that God is faithful to use? He is faithful to give you a dream. He's faithful to use time. He is faithful to use difficulty, and he is faithful to use discipline to develop you. Are you willing for God to work in your life? Here's an example. Watch this.
Hymn number 10 of 11, K. kids, so from a big family. Had an extremely faithful, godly mom. She loved Jesus and was always teaching us about Christ. Had an extremely violent father, not a believer, abusive. I saw my dad one time come after me with a hammer. There was also other members of the family who sexually abused me. So at a very young age, I was quite confused on my mom telling me how good God was, but all these other things going on in my life is difficult. She always would just say little things like, God is faithful, God would work it out. My two heroes were my two middle brothers, George and Doug. They weren't the best people, but I just loved them. I thought the world of them. George got into really serious heroin addiction. As I got a little older, he got really bad. And I remember one night I was sleeping on the couch and the knock on the door. And I was the one to answer. The cop said, son, where's your mom? And I don't know why, but instantly I knew there was something wrong with my brother. And finally, my mom came downstairs, and I remember distinctly hearing him say, your son was murdered tonight. I was angry. I was angry at God. But my mom just said, you know, God's going to work it out. But I didn't know how. I just took one of my heroes. My sister Vicky, by this time, had become a heroin addict. And I was embarrassed, you know, Friday nights. I would see my own sister on the street selling herself for drugs. And all of that led to, honestly, to a dichotomy in me. It was an immense desire to love God. And there was an immense desire not to trust Him. So I became very depressed, and extremely depressed. So I was going to go back home, and I was going to take my life. I remember it was Wednesday morning when I wrote the note. And I said, God, I give you one more chance. I said, the only reason I haven't taken my life right now is because it will kill my mom. And I said, God, please show me that you're real. Show me that you care. Because right now I can't see it. That night, God really spoke. And that night I made a commitment that I was going to follow Him no matter what. No matter how hard it got. I said, God, I'll do anything. Forgive me. Through my life, through the difficulties, the struggles, the pain, God has really shown Himself faithful the whole way. And I was a messed up guy who was selfish, and I was heading the same place my dad and my brothers and the rest of my family was going. And God says, Donna, no, I have a better plan for you. And even though Satan had it to destroy me, God had better plans.
God has a plan for you.
I'm number 10
and
of
he may be
kids, so from a big family.
Can stop that. When's the play? Maybe God has a plan. But no matter what's going on in your life, God is faithful that He is using those things to develop you. You may not see what it is doing in your life right now, but you've got to trust Him. You need to understand that He is faithful to take everything in your life and develop it to good. So real quickly, what do we need to do? We must, first of all, rejoice. You need to rejoice that God is faithful. You need to, no matter what happens in your life, you need to begin to say, God, thank you that you thought me worthy enough to suffer through this valley and storm. Paul said it, I want to be worthy to enjoy the sufferings of Christ. You need to rejoice. You need to begin to, what James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And that patience, when you let it have its perfect work, will make you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Are you willing to rejoice that God is working in you, even through the storms, even through the valleys? But not only do we need to rejoice, we need to obey. God is bringing these things in your life. Are you willing, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the pain, are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to keep following Him? See, many times when the pain comes, we want to give up. We want to walk away. We want to go back to that sin that we came from. God says, don't shrink back. Don't turn back to the same things that I've delivered you from, that I've directed you, and now I'm developing you. You need to keep obeying. We read this morning in Sunday school in Philippians. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do you understand that it's God working in your life? That accident that happened was not just an accident, it was God working in your life. So you need to begin to work it out. You need to keep obeying. You need to understand that, God, you're developing and I'm going to stay on the narrow path. Are you willing to keep obeying Him in the midst of sorrow? Because He is working on you. Not only do you obey, but we need to grow. If he is faithful to work on us, we need to be faithful to learn. We need to be faithful to grow in those things. We need to let that trial teach us something. See, here's the problem. I think a lot of times we go through trial after trial because He wanted to teach us something the first time, but we were so hard-headed that we didn't learn the lesson the first time. So we need to go through it again, and we go through it again. And God is saying, would you begin to partner with me and grow? When things happen, you need to ask God, God, how can I grow from this? When you go through a physical trial, God, how can I grow in this? When you go through a financial difficulty, God, teach me something in the midst of this. When you go through relationship problems, God, how can I grow closer to you in this? What are you trying to teach me? Are you willing to grow? If God is faithful to mold us, we've got to be faithful to learn from it. Or otherwise, we're going to go through the same thing over and over. We need to begin to learn to grow. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we need to understand that just as much as a father disciplines us, God is the same way. But just like a father, we learn from our father. You need to be willing to learn from God. That as God uses delay, and as God uses difficulties, and as God uses discipline, and as God gives you a dream, learn from it, grow in it, participate in that. Because it's as you do that, that God makes a difference. It is as we rejoice, and it is as we obey, and as we grow, that God is faithful to make those things work together for our good. Because remember it said, all things work together for good for who? To those who love God. In other words, those who rejoice. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to grumble. I'm going to rejoice. Is everything good in my life? No. But I'm going to rejoice because He is faithful to use these things. He is faithful to develop me. He is making me into the image of God. So I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to love God. It says, and to those who are called according to His purposes. If God is going to make everything work together to good, you have to obey. You need to begin to repent and say, God, I'm going to obey. I'm going to follow You so that You can work in me. And I'm going to grow. I am going to choose to grow in You. I'm going to learn some lessons. I'm not going to be hard-headed. And as you do that, God is faithful to develop you into the image of His Son. We can't become like Jesus. You got to let God develop you. You've got to let God do it. But you simply are a part of that. I want you to watch one more thing and then we're going to close.
When I was born, I was born with broken bones. The doctors actually broke my bones, taking me out of the womb. They went on a hunch and ordered x-rays and found out that I had osteogenesis imperfecta at the hospital. It causes my bones to be extremely, extremely fragile, and they can actually break from little to no cause at all. They said she probably won't live past her first birthday, so don't be surprised if nothing comes of her life. Basically, telling them that I had no importance and no value and that I wasn't gonna live because of this very horrible, tragic disease. I was turning over in bed one time and broke my arm, just to give you a little example of how easily it is for me to break a bone. So far in my life, I have had 115 broken bones and 13 rotting surgeries. I went through so much suffering and pain that at first it was hard for me to believe that there was even a God. About the sixth grade, I was in a very, very traumatic car accident. It was very hard for me to deal with because the car actually hit and impacted my sister's side of the car, and she just walked away with nothing wrong with her, and I just got all of these broken bones and stuff. So it was really, really hard to deal with. And I was questioning God, and I was going, what in the world, God? Like, why do I have to deal with all this pain and she gets nothing? It was really hard because my whole life, you know, I have to share everything with my sister. And I was like, well, she should be able to share this pain with me. But that obviously didn't happen. I remember vividly one night laying in bed with my body cast on and yelling at God. And I was just screaming at the top of my lungs. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? And I was asking him, why am I in so much pain? You obviously hate me. And you obviously cursed me with this terrible disease. I would just be driving. And a thought would come into my head, like, why don't you just drive your car over into that parked car over there and bam, it'll all be over. And I was really, really struggling because I was like, you know, it would probably be easier on everyone else if I weren't alive and they wouldn't have to deal with my broken bones and go to the hospital with me and stuff. And it'd just be, you know, so much easier. I can either choose to get mad about it and frustrated and go, oh gosh, God, why did you let this happen to me? My life is terrible. Or I can go, okay, this is horrible, but I'm gonna trust you anyway, God, because I know that you have a plan and a purpose for me. And so I wanna see that come to fruition, so please help me through this. So about 14 years old, I started learning the guitar from my youth worship pastor. And he taught me, you know, simple basic chords, just like simple worship songs on the guitar. And I ended up auditioning for the Horizon Christian Academy worship team, and I got to be a leader. And so at chapels, I would lead worship. And I never thought that God would want me to go around the country and sing for people. Sometimes I'll meet people with disabilities who are going through the same things I went through, and my album will just lift them up. My whole life, I've been told by the world that disabled people can't make it and that they don't have any purpose and that they're just a big burden. But now, ever since I've learned God thinks of me, that's given me purpose.
God has a plan for you. He is faithful to make you into something precious. Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Whatever you are going through, God has started something in you that he is going to finish. What is he making of you? What are you allowing him to make of you? If we put our heart and our life in his hands, he is faithful to develop us. He is faithful not just to deliver you, not just to direct you, but he will make you into something precious. Now, it's going to be painful, and you're going to have to go through a journey, but are you willing, like her, to say, you know what? Why get mad? I'm going to embrace the journey. And as you begin to rejoice, and as you begin to obey, and as you begin to grow, who knows what God can do with you? Because he is faithful, and he will do it. The one who started is the one who will finish. Let's bow our hearts.